Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
What is the grand purpose of all of our lives? Even though we are fearfully and wonderfully made, even though we're all individually unique, what is the one thing that all mankind shares in common? What has God called us to do? And that answer is to bring him glory. So we read before the prayer, and we'll read it again here in 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink, that doesn't get any more base than that. Eating and drinking. It's not like you've ever pulled up at a red light and saw somebody cramming a burger down their throat and you had to stop and watch. It doesn't get any more base than somebody eating or drinking, and that's just not something I want to watch somebody do. I mean, you know, especially if you talk with your mouth full or you smack. I mean, you know, that can be annoying. But the Bible says, whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, or whatsoever you do, read the rest, do all to the glory of God. Read that part again. Do all to the glory of God, because that is the end purpose of all of our lives. That is why we exist, is to bring God glory. I exist to bring God glory. Say that out loud. I exist to bring God glory. As a matter of fact, everything that God created exists to bring him glory. There is nothing that God has created that doesn't exist for his glory. Now, when you talk about the glory of God and living for the glory of God, what does that mean? Well, let's talk about it for a few minutes. But if you would, turn over to Colossians, the book of Colossians, turn forward into the New Testament, and go to Colossians chapter number 3. What does it mean to bring God glory? Well, the glory of God is the expressed image of God. We find that definition in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. The glory of God is the expressed image of God. It is the disclosing of God. It is the revealing of God. It is him making himself known. The weightiness of God being made known. That is the glory of God. When Jesus worked his first miracle in John chapter 2, the Bible says that with his miracles, he manifested the glory of God. He showed that he was more than a carpenter that grew up in his earthly father's business, but that he was the Son of God. So the glory of God is when God makes himself known, when he reveals himself. So God is glorified anytime what he created does what it was created to do. It's a glorious thing. Now, watch this here in Colossians chapter 3, and we'll look at it in verse 17. Colossians 3, 17, if you're there, say amen. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, that's what you say or your actions. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, help me with it, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So he's saying, whatever you say and whatever you do, whatever you achieve, roll the credit, roll the glory back over on the Lord. Hallelujah. So ever how you've seen the Lord work in your life, whatever good you've seen God manifest in your life, he's saying, roll that over back on the Lord. Matter of fact, whatever you say and whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord. Do it for the glory of the Lord. Imagine what would happen if we tested everything we said and everything we did and said, okay, would this bring God glory? Could I do this in the name of the Lord? Because you couldn't cuss somebody out and say, I did that in the name of Jesus. You couldn't steal from somebody and say, yeah, now that's what you get in the name of the Lord. I mean, you couldn't use the name of the Lord if you did something that didn't represent who he is. You've heard me say many times that you may be the only Bible that some folk have ever read. And that's actually scripture, because in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2, Paul writes to the church of Corinth and he says, hey, you are a living epistle. You are a living scripture. You are the living word. In other words, the way I live, I might be the only Bible some people are ever reading. I may be the only example of Christ that an individual has ever seen. And God has called every one of us to be image bearers of him. That's why when he made man in his own image. God made man in his image because he's chosen man to be his image bearer. He's chosen man to reflect who God is in the earth. He's chosen you and me to bring him glory, to bring him glory in your marriage, to bring him glory in your life, to bring him glory in your family, to bring him glory in your business, to bring him glory in the church, to bring him glory in ministry. My life exists to bring him glory. Now, if you are a sports fan, if you're not, that's okay, but if you're a sports fan and you have an athlete that you really admire, a sports player, and maybe this individual is used to bring victory to a team. Maybe they win a championship, and at the end of the game, they put the microphone in their face, and they say, hey, tell us about that game-winning drive. Tell us about this victory. Tell us about what this means to you this year, et cetera. If you're like me and you're a believer and you're a sports fan, when you see an athlete who's been given the microphone at the end of victory, and the first thing they do is say, well, first of all, I want to give glory to God. I want to give glory to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You get excited. Because why? Because you recognize that that person is using that platform. They're using that seat of influence to bring glory to Jesus, to make his name known. That's something I think that resonates in the heart of all believers. But if you go back to a time when maybe you didn't know the Lord, or for me, when I didn't know the Lord, I think there's something in all of us that resists pride. And what I mean by that is that same athlete, even if I'm lost, and the microphone comes to their face, and you say, hey, tell us about that game-winning drive. Tell us about this victory. Tell us about what it means to be MVP. And they say, well, you know, it's just rewarding when you work as hard as I've worked, when you spend as much time in the gym as I have, when you put as much into the game as I put into it. It's just rewarding to finally get this accolade that I know I deserve. You know, you kind of cringe at that, like, oh, man, surely there was a mama that disciplined you and helped you become who you are. Surely there was a daddy that spent some time that helped coach you and navigate you to that. Surely there was a coach, you know, in junior high or high school or in your life. Surely there was somebody in your life that aided you and ministered to you and taught you and coached you and trained you that helped you get to that. Surely there was somebody you could have rolled some glory on instead of just bathing in the glory of I'm a self-made man. There's something inside of all of us that rejects this idea that an individual is self-made and that their success is all wrapped up in their own work ethic and in their own intelligence or education. No, somebody's responsible for the who that you become. And I think even for an unbeliever, we resist this idea that nobody gets the credit for who you are. Well, I'm here to tell you today as believers, God says, you know what? I want to do things in you. I want to do super things in you. I want to use you, but I want to use you for my glory. Let me do something in your life that will roll the glory back on who I am. Let me do something in your life that would make known who I am to the world. Because here's the thing, James McManus can't change anybody, but the Jesus that changed me can change you. I can't let my testimony be about myself because I couldn't do anything for you. But I do know a man that can take a nobody and turn him into somebody that can reach anybody with the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody. Living for the glory of God means I live for something bigger than myself. I live for something greater than myself. I live for a God who made me, who created me, who gifted me, who led me, who empowered me, who blessed me, and made me to be that you see me to be. Now, don't ask me to say all that again. I couldn't do it. So he said, whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Live for his glory outside of church. Live for his glory when you leave the church. For too long, believers have had the mindset that church is a building. That at a certain day, at a certain place, we bring him glory. But then when we walk out of that place, And it's no longer that day. Our lives don't look like what we demonstrated at that place at that time. It's time for the church to stop going to church and start being the church. And the church is not a place. The church is a people, and we exist to bring him glory. We can't walk in the church on Sunday, lift our hands and bless the name of God with our lips, and then walk out of the church and curse a man that was made in the image of God we just blessed. The book of James says, how can you bless God with your mouth and then curse a man that was made in his image with that same mouth? These things ought not to be. What would happen if we wore a Jesus shirt everywhere? Because you know good well, if you got an I love Jesus bumper sticker on your car, you can't be cutting folk off, rolling your window down, cussing them out, and throwing an ugly finger out the window. And you do all that and then pass me up and I look at your bumper and see I love Jesus. That better be your grandma's car. Amen. Go with me to the book of Psalms. I want to go to the 72nd division, Psalm 72. We exist to bring him glory. And I don't know where you are in life right now. And I don't know what might be going on in your life, or what yesterday or your past may look like. But I want everybody here to know there is nobody that is excluded from allowing their life to bring God glory. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are not overlooked. You are not a mistake. You are a purpose with a name, and God wants to use your life for his glory. And you don't have to be a preacher or a pastor. You don't have to be a singer or a musician to bring him glory. That's the kind of stuff we benefit from when we gather, but there is so much to be done when we walk outside of this assembly where our lives can be used to bring him glory, and your life can be used to bring him glory. No matter what today looks like or no matter what your past looks like, you are a purpose with a name. Now, let me show this to you in Psalm 72. And when you get there, say amen. Amen. The word says, and blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Read that statement out loud. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. I couldn't hear you. Read it again. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. God didn't say let the whole church. He didn't say let the whole building with the steeple on top. He didn't say let the whole tabernacle or temple. See, when God made man, he walked with man. Sin separated man from God. God would later tabernacle among man, called Moses to build a tabernacle, a portable tent that could be carried from place to place, and God's presence went in that tabernacle. Once the children of Israel made their way through the wilderness, crossed the Jordan, and came into the land of promise, God gave them a location where they were to build a temple, and in that temple, God's presence dwelt. But when Jesus died on that cross, the Bible says that veil that was hanging in the holy place of the temple, that veil was ripped from top to bottom. That veil, dated all the way through history, was what separated the presence of God from man. But when Jesus spilt his blood on that cross, the Bible says from top to bottom, that veil was rent, and God's presence became available to any believer. And the word says that we've been sealed by his spirit under the day of redemption. God moved off Mount Sinai, and he moved into Mount you and I. And now he's made us to be his dwelling place. He's made your life to be the carrier of his presence. And like Paul told that those people in Acts chapter 17 that didn't know God, and they built this temple and built this altar, and they put an inscription and they said, to the unknown God. When Paul saw those people of Athens, he spoke a word. You can read it in Acts 17. He said, let me tell you about this unknown God. Let me make him known to you. This God, in him we live and move and have our very being. And he's never far from us. Why? Because he abides in us. You don't have to go up to a place called church to find the presence of God. You don't have to come forward to what we built as an altar to really meet God. I got saved at an altar, but you can get saved in your home. You can get saved in your bedroom. You can get saved driving down the road, because his presence is everywhere. One of the names of God is Jehovah Shammah, and it means he's an ever-present God. You cannot not put any boundaries on his presence. He's omnipresent. Hallelujah. He's everywhere. That doesn't mean that you experience him everywhere, but he is everywhere. You can be in someone's presence and not know it until they make their presence known. You've likely been in the presence of God, just didn't know it, but he wants to make his presence known. And you might be in the presence of an individual that doesn't know Jesus, that doesn't know God's love, that doesn't know his truth, but God wants to use you to make himself known. He wants to use you for his glory. And the Bible says here, God wants the whole earth. Let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Read that part out loud. Let the whole earth be filled with his glory. That means I can't be a Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a private disciple. Came to Jesus by night, John chapter 3 tells us. Came to Jesus on the sly, on the low. Nobody could see it. Private disciple. I don't make my faith known to everybody. I live for Jesus and it's in my heart and I don't have to make it known to everybody. Something wrong with that. Something wrong with that. Be something wrong if I had a wife, but I wouldn't let anybody know who she is. Be something to me to tell everybody, you know, I'm married, but I ain't gonna tell you who I'm married to. Never gonna bring up her name. What kind of relationship would you have with a person that you wouldn't bring them up, that you wouldn't make them known? I'm gonna tell you right now, my wife said it right here on the front row, fine as she can be, wise as she can be, smart as she can be, powerful as she can be. There ain't nothing that girl can't do. Last night, my son came in getting ready for the winter formal, and he couldn't tie a bow tie. We were running out of time, and I needed to get ready. I said, look, son, I gotta get ready, or we're gonna be late, but your mama can't do anything. My wife tied the bow tie. Yes, she used YouTube, but she did it. Her name is Chrissy. She's my everything. She's my boo. She's my love. She's the center of my world. You understand? How could I say I love somebody and I won't tell you who she is? How can you say you love the Lord, but you don't make him known? I'm here to tell you, I gotta make him known. He's the reason I am who I am. He's the reason I do what I do. I'm gonna let you know who he is in the bank. I'm gonna let you know who he is at Walmart. I'm gonna let you know who he is in my office, in my classroom. I'm not gonna hide my faith. Whether I eat or I drink, I bow my head. Thank you, Lord, for this food I'm about to receive. I don't care if everybody's looking in a restaurant or in your house. Let the whole earth be filled with his glory. What's wrong with the world now is that Christians are hiding their faith. They're hiding their testimony out of fear of rejection, out of fear of what somebody might say to you. But 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And the next verse in verse 8 says, now therefore, don't be ashamed of your testimony of the Lord. Don't be ashamed of your testimony of what Jesus has done in your life. Don't be ashamed of your testimony. It's easy to testify in a place like this where everybody, you know, predominantly believes, but can you testify on the job? It ain't like them coworkers didn't know your marriage wasn't in trouble. They saw it on your face. They saw it in the way you were writing that text. They saw it in your attitude. You let some things slip. And now they come to you and they ask you how the marriage is doing. And you say, well, we worked it out. Now, don't be saying we worked it out. When you know good and well, we didn't work it out because the we was the reason that it was a mess. Say, so you know what? By the word of God, by prayer, Jesus worked it out. Jesus worked us out. He showed me some things I needed to change. He showed her some things she needed to change. And God is good, you know it? And you use that as a platform to give God testimony of what he's done in your life. Whatever you do, do for the glory of God. Turn back with me to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. Hallelujah. Man, y'all got me hollering and spitting on one of my favorite suits. Good grief. Go with me to Numbers 14. When you get over there, just say amen. Now look at this in verse 20. Let the earth be filled with his glory. Let the earth be filled with the knowledge of who he is. Hallelujah. Church has got to start being the church and stop thinking church is a building. somebody tell me not long ago. They said, yeah, I came to your church. It don't look like a church. I said, wait. The what? Yeah, we drove by. I said, you drove by? Yeah, it don't look like a church. I said, wait a minute. What are you talking about don't look like a church? Well, you know your building. Well, the building ain't a church. People are church. When Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, he didn't talk about I build my building. The church was built on the foundation of two questions. In Matthew 16, Jesus had his disciples gathered together and he asked two questions. I want you to get this. Number one, he said, who do men say I am? Who do men say I am? What is said of me in the world? And they answered, they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Jeremiah, some say you're a prophet. Well, that's all wrong answer. So then Jesus asked the second question. He said, who do you say I am? Why? Because there can't be a reconciliation of what the world is saying about Jesus until the church gets a revelation of who he is. If I don't know who he is, how can I resolve the world not knowing who he is? So Jesus asked two questions. Who do they say I am? Then he said, okay, who do you say I am? Because how can you change what the world believes if you don't know it? And so Simon opened his mouth and he said, you are the Christ, you are the Son of God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't give that to you, because flesh and blood said, I'm John the Baptist or a prophet. He said, my Father in heaven has revealed that to you. And on this revelation of who I am, I build my church. The church exists so that a people can get together and that he can pour out his spirit and reveal his word so that we can get the revelation of who he is. Why? So that the world can know who he is. You exist so the world can know who he is. And God is glorified when you let the world know he's a healer, he's a deliverer, he's a way maker, he's a reconciler, that everything you see in my life that is good came from him. The world can be saved when the church becomes a voice of who he is. See, that's purpose. It's the end result of all of our lives. So watch this here in Numbers 14, verse 20. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but as truly as I live, help me with it, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. See, that's his intent. That's his will. Read behind that comma again. All the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. That's what we just read in Psalm 72:19 that merited an amen and an amen. Why? Because that's God's plan. He wants to use you. He wants to use me to bring him glory, to make who he is known. That's why he made man in his own image. He didn't make man in the image of a gorilla. A lie told us that. A theory told us that. I'm not the evolution of sea sponge. SpongeBob is not my super great granddaddy. Because evolution says the earliest form of life was sea sponge. That's ridiculous. God made man in his own image because man was to be the representative of God. He was to be God's subordinate king in the earth, representing his will, his power, who he is. That's what God's called all of us to be.
I want to thank you for tuning in to today's message on our podcast. If this word encouraged you, visit our website at wogm.com for more information and resources. I'm Pastor James McMenis. Have a blessed week.